So if I was to go back in time, I would tell myself just to stay the course of what I believe to be true and what I believe that I was meant to be. And just know that, you know, someday you're going to be the man, but there's a lot of work that has to go into that before that happens, because people aren't going to believe in you and believe in your message or believe you are what you say you are until you start doing those things.
Welcome to the Social Ray Podcast, where we highlight inspiring entrepreneurs and social media influencers who've used social media successfully to build their business and follow their passions. Discover the mindsets, strategies, and advice that will help you take your business to the next level. Now, here's your host, Raymond On.
Hey guys, in this episode, I talk with my friend Colin McLellan, who is in the oil industry. He's an entrepreneur. And, you know, he left school to pursue entrepreneurship because he found that this was what suited him more than just going to school. You know, he was self-aware that going to school was not his path. He started getting into the oil industry, got into social media. You know, he ran pages with hundreds of thousands of followers. And, you know, he's more heavily focused right now in the oil industry. But, you know, what's really amazing through this interview is just his journey of how he was able to take himself from, you know, just studying something he didn't like to creating the job he wanted for himself and his family, and just, you know, living the kind of life that he wants on his terms. So hope you guys are encouraged by this interview, and also that you're able to share it with friends or family who you think might benefit from it. And also, now I'm going to have my own Facebook group and ebooks talking about Instagram growth and social media. So if you guys are interested in that, you can sign up for my emails. I'll have it in the link to this podcast, and or DM me on Instagram as ray.ahn, and I'll include you guys in that. So yeah, reach out to me if you're interested, and hope you guys enjoy this interview. So hey guys, I want to introduce you to my friend Colin, and he's an entrepreneur, and he's been in the social media space and in the oil industry, and he does a lot of other different businesses. And I just want to give my audience just a quick background of who you are. So if you just kind of give us a background of where you're from, just your journey to entrepreneurship and just your story.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I don't have a conventional story. So a lot of people see all the different things I'm involved in and like, you know, how the hell did you get from point A to point B? And it's definitely not a straight line for me. So name's Colin. I'm out of Houston, Texas. Been in the oil and gas industry for the last 9 years, straight out of high school. I barely graduated high school with a 1.6 GPA. Didn't go the college route. I went straight into a blue collar, very dangerous, labor intensive job working as a roughneck on drilling rigs in the oil business. Did that for several years. In that time, Instagram was starting to blow up. I was following a lot of accounts like Founder Magazine and Agent Steven and Millionaire Mentor, you know, some of the original OG motivation accounts on Instagram. And so I was really getting interested in social media. I started just putting out content through my accounts and ended up building up 300,000 followers through my Fit and Wealthy accounts and my big account, which was Words of Success. Through social media, I started getting involved with e-commerce. I saw a lot of people doing e-commerce businesses with Shopify. Ended up doing a couple of e-commerce ventures myself, which one of them that I own right now is called Seven. So I do that, and I'm still in oil and gas. I'm doing private equity, investing in oil and gas assets, and then consulting oil and gas tech startups.
Okay, awesome. And so what were you doing like before all of that? And yeah, what would you do before?
Yeah, so my jobs in the oil and gas industry were, I was kind of transitioned from a blue collar. I worked my way up the ranks to working for a company that's actually owned by Shell, big oil and gas service company. And I was a project manager for them. So I was actually managing jobs across the Western Hemisphere, you know, did millions of dollars worth of jobs for them while I was doing all of my side hustles at the same time. So you can imagine that I was pretty busy because I would be, you know, I had a high level of responsibility when I was at at my day job, and then I was trying to get all of my businesses off the ground on the side as well. So that's kind of what I was doing before I was involved heavily in the entrepreneur space and an entrepreneur myself.
Yeah, and you talked about your e-commerce store. So were you driving all your traffic from Instagram, or how were you getting sales and marketing?
Yeah, so the original way that I monetized on Instagram was I would run ads for people, and then I would also do affiliate offers. So I would build up funnels, and then I didn't have any products that were my own. So I would just drive traffic to other people, and they would either pay me in the form of running an advertisement for them or give me an affiliate commission. Mm-hmm. So the way I got started in Shopify was I never really went the route of, I know a lot of people will go like drop shipping, you know, they'll start up a drop shipping Shopify store and go that way because it's a little bit more passive. It doesn't take as much capital, but I went straight into creating my own brand. So I started, actually I acquired a brand called Seven, which it's a marijuana smoking accessory company. And it's funny because I don't smoke marijuana, but I saw an opportunity to buy this product because someone had spent all this money designing it and they ended up walking away from it. They didn't want to launch it. And I liked the product. I liked the branding. So I actually acquired it for a good price and launched it on Amazon, started bringing in sales through Amazon. And now we are doing sales through Shopify with that as well. And then I'm also involved with a supplement company and a sunglass company. So I'm not the majority owner on any of those. I'm minority owners in them. So I'm not involved with the day-to-day operations, but I help as like general counsel with just business development and the marketing side, since I have a lot of experience with influencer marketing on Instagram and setting up sales funnels.
So you kind of help with Instagram influencer marketing. So how does that work? Like, what is it? What are your like tips or advice for?
Yeah. So what I tell a lot of people, and if you've got a e-commerce brand, is that you need to be using micro influencers. You know, a lot of times people think that when they think of influencer marketing, they're thinking, oh, I need to go work with Kylie Jenner. Well, I don't know anybody that gets a positive ROI of working with influencers that are that big. And I tell people, you need to focus on the micro influencers. I'm talking people as little as, you know, 2000 followers on Instagram. They have a very following. So, you know, say that you were selling leggings, for example, you know, it costs you $10 to make a pair of leggings. You can, you know, reach out to them and be like, hey, you know, if I send you a pair of leggings, will you make 3 posts for me? And they end up doing it. You know, it costs you $10, maybe $13, $14 after shipping it to them. And, you know, you can get 100 emails off of them. So it's a very positive ROI. If you use those little small targeted micro influencers and actually build a big or a deep relationship with them.
Yeah. And that's a good point, like getting emails, because then you can keep that constant interaction, right, with your consumers.
Yeah, it's all about the email. So people think that you're going to get direct sales off of Instagram, and it doesn't always work out like that. You definitely need to have a back-end funnel system to where you're capturing their emails and then targeting them with retargeting ads and then just sending out email campaigns.
So what do you use for your funnels?
Yeah, so build out a lot of funnels with ClickFunnels as the landing. There's a lot of landing page software that you can use. I prefer ClickFunnels just because it's what I know. And then as far as the email services, I use AWeber. There's a lot of email services, you know, people like MailChimp, GetResponse, things like that. But I prefer AWeber and ClickFunnels stacked together.
Is there a reason why AWeber versus like MailChimp?
Yeah, AWeber I find has better delivery rates for actually getting your email to the inbox, whereas MailChimp I find can hit the spam box a lot. I also just like the simplicity of AWeber. So AWeber doesn't have as nice of a user interface as a software like MailChimp, but I like that it just does what I need it to do. It's very simple and it works. So that's why I prefer.
Okay, cool. And you know, kind of you were talking about your, like, what did you major in college?
Skipped out on college, man. Yeah, I didn't go to college. I did go to college. I went to college for 2 weeks and I was like, man, this isn't for me. So I was within that buffer period where I could get my money back. And I just went on my own path.
So yeah, like kind of, I want to talk about that, you know, how we're able to overcome those obstacles, because you know, a lot of people, when they try to forge their own path, there's a lot of uncertainty and fears and, you know, a lot of just unknowns, and like kind of what kind of kept you going? What was going on in your mind?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people, well, I don't think, I know most people fear the unknown. And what I like to tell people, I give an example, is when I quit my job. So, you know, I'm not a single guy. Had my first kid when I was 21 years old. And I have three children now, have a wife, have a family to take care of. And so a time that I experienced a lot of fear is when I actually left my job. You know, I had a good, high-paying, six-figure job, and I had to walk away from that. And the way that I overcame that fear and overcame that obstacle was I mapped it out. I said, okay, what are the pros and cons? And, you know, I'll give you some insight to what my cons were. My cons were, okay, if I quit my job, if I'm not able to bring in enough revenue to live off of, what happens? I have to move my family back to my hometown. And okay, that's not that bad. I'd probably have to sell, I've got a 140-pound Cane Corso dog. I probably wouldn't be able to take him with me. So I'd have to, you know, sell him back to the breeder. Said, okay, that's not that bad. My family's still taken care of. You know, it's inconvenient that we'd have to move back home, but that's not that much risk, right? And so once you map out and visualize what the worst case scenario is, you can come to terms with it. Like, okay, then you can see what's the pros of the situation. Well, the pros are if I quit my job and I gain all this momentum, all this traction, my businesses explode and I start building long-term wealth. Well, the risk reward ratio is heavily favored in the reward in that instance. So at that point, I was able to get over my fear and the obstacle of quitting my job. So I think people, you know, we fear the unknown. So if you can shed some light on the unknown and see what all the different scenarios would be and map it out, then you have some wisdom and guidance going into that.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point, because I feel like a lot of people, they like kind of fall into their fears, you know, and they don't think rationally. Like for me, I was in medical school, and then I was thinking, you know, this isn't something I enjoy. And I already knew that in college studying medicine.
Yeah.
And, my heart wasn't in it. And so I was thinking, you know, what's the worst that can happen if I leave school for a couple of years? You know, I could always come back, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, people think, oh, like you have to stick to this traditional route, which isn't bad, especially if you need a license for something. But, you know, if there's an opportunity and if there's something going on that you think, wow, this is a great opportunity, why not? You know, what's the worst that could happen, right?
Like, well, yeah, what's the worst that could happen? I mean, in your instance, yeah, you leave school, and if it doesn't pan out for you, you go back to school and, you know, go explore that route again. And that's perfectly okay. So I think that's something that people, they don't really sit there and weigh what would happen. And they always just let it be an unknown because they don't have really any clarity on the situation. And so if you fear the unknown, you're never going to take that leap to do what you are truly passionate about.
Yeah. And I also think like they don't hear like stories of people who have done that, and they have, like, you know, done something amazing, you know, by doing that. So I would have never networked with like these amazing influencers and entrepreneurs like yourself, you know, like, if I never took that risk and just.
Exactly, man. You got to take the jump at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And it's crazy. Like you said, the risk reward, like there's so much more you can get, but just people are just stuck in like that mindset of like that box of like, this is all there is, you know, to my life.
Yeah. And you map out the risk reward. I mean, look at it. My thing with entrepreneurship is people say that entrepreneurship is risky. And I'm like, how much risky is entrepreneurship than having a job? Because the chances of you getting laid off from your career are extremely high. I've seen my father, who's a well-educated man, very hardworking. I've seen him be laid off 3 times in my lifetime. And I mean, this is someone that's a very high level talent, very high level employee, and he's been discarded by companies. So if you work a career all of your life, you're capped out on your potential. Like, say I stayed at my job making 6 figures a year, you know, yeah, that's nice. I might have a nice 401k, but what happens when I get laid off when I'm 48 years old, or the equities market, the stock market crashes and I lose my 401k? Well, that's pretty fucking risky if you ask me. You cap out how much potential you have, where in entrepreneurship, you exponentially increase the reward that you have. So while there is some risk up front, you're not capped out on how much you can be rewarded on the back end. So to me, not chasing your dreams, your passions, and sticking with the daily grind that everybody's been led that we have to do, that's riskier to me.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's like what I say to you. That's my mindset too, because, yeah, like you think, you know, having a job is secure, but at the end of the day, who controls your job, right? Not you, right?
It's exactly. There's nothing secure about it.
Yeah, there's a quote. It was like, you know, why are you working so hard at a job that you could easily be replaced the next day? You know what I mean? So it's like...
Exactly. And, you know, we see this in the oil business, where the oil business is very boom or bust. You know, Chesapeake Energy, I think they just laid off 14% of their workforce out of their corporate office in Oklahoma City. You know, these are good, hard workers, nothing that they could have done personally. But the fact is that, companies will cut you loose on the spot. You know, you are easily replaceable.
Yeah. And I don't think, you know, it's for everybody. I don't think like everyone is meant to just go off on their own and like build a business or.
Yeah, definitely not. Everyone has their own purpose and their own path that they're supposed to take in life.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of it, kind of like Gary Vaynerchuk talks about it, like self-aware. Like you were self-aware to the point where you knew you didn't even want to go to college, right? And so,
like, yeah.
So, like, what are some ways people can be self-aware? Or for you, how are you so self-aware?
Yeah, that's a tough question, because sometimes I feel like I'm just like that naturally. You know, when it's so tough in America when we've had it essentially just ingrained in our minds that you have to go along this path. I mean, I remember, honestly, I wanted to drop out of high school my senior year, and I didn't even want to finish. I didn't even want to graduate. And, you know, my counselors were telling me, look, you have to get a high school degree. You'll never get any kind of job without a high school degree. And then after that, you know, oh, well, you got to go to college. And at some, you know, I went to college for 2 weeks, and that 2 weeks, I was like, man, what am I doing? This isn't me. This isn't my path. This isn't what I want to do. And I think what we see is too many people trying to be something that they're not. And this goes for entrepreneurship too. Like I see people on Instagram that are trying so hard to be entrepreneurs, but they really need to have some reflection and some self-awareness and see, okay, maybe this isn't for me. But, you know, I don't really have a ton of advice on how to improve self-awareness, other than I can tell you that I do meditate and visualize a lot about what my life is supposed to be. And I probably gain a ton of insight from that.
Meditation. So how do you, what's your meditation process look like for you?
Yeah. So I'm a big visualizer. So I like to visualize where I see myself being, and it's kind of crazy because everything that I've ever visualized myself becoming, it's already manifested, and it continues to manifest. So, you know, there's easy ways to start guiding yourself in the right direction. Like I do, have you ever seen Ryan Holiday's Daily Stoic Journal? It's a great book that's built on Stoic principles, where you can get a daily passage, and then you have a journal entry every day, every morning and every evening to reflect on your inner self. And I think that you can find a lot of guidance and a lot of answers to your questions if you just take some time out of the day to reflect.
So like, for example, for today, like before you started your day, what was the passage or message that you got?
Yeah, so one that I really liked the other day was, I'm going to share this one from the other day, because what I liked about it was, the message was, if someone was to come take you and let someone take advantage of your body, you'd be furious. But daily, we let people take advantage of us mentally, and we're passive about it. We don't do anything about it. And you can't let anybody in the world take advantage of you and abuse you mentally. We let so many people bring outward energy, negative outward energy, onto us, and we let it affect us. So I took a big lesson from that, was really not letting anybody affect me emotionally, mentally. Anything that's said outwards towards me shouldn't have any weight, and I shouldn't let it carry any weight on my being for that day. Whereas, you know, if and we don't think about it like that, but if someone was to come up and start physically assaulting me, you know, I'd have a problem with it, but we never think of anything when someone's mentally assaulting you.
Yeah, that's very interesting. It's like people aren't okay with going to like physical prison, but they're okay being in a mental prison.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was kind of a nice passage that I read the other day and took some enlightenment from.
And the scary thing is, like, people don't know they're in a prison, right? I think that's the biggest difference.
That's step one, is realizing that you're a slave to the world, and understanding, like, okay, I see the position that I'm in, this is where I'm in, or this is where I'm at, and this is where I want to be, and then taking the steps to get to the position that you want to be in.
Yeah, and taking the risk, right? And so,
yep.
And, you know, you also mentioned, like, your family, you do a lot of things for your family, like entrepreneurship, so is that kind of why you went into it, so you could provide and not?
Actually, no. So, entrepreneurship, it's just something that I've always had a calling for ever since I was a young kid, before I had a family. So it's not why I do it. I mean, like I said, had a high paying job. My family is well taken care of with what I was doing. So with my family, my biggest fear with my family that I have is if something was to happen to me today or tomorrow where I was no longer here, I fear that my children, you know, they're young, that they wouldn't have me to learn from. So that's why I like using social media, because I can document what I'm doing, and they, you know, even if I was to pass away today or tomorrow, my family will be able to look back on my documentation and learn from me and understand what I was about. But as far as building well for them through entrepreneurship, of course I want to give my family a good life and make sure that they're always taken care of, but it's not why I went into entrepreneurship.
So you said you're documenting your journey right now?
Mm-hmm.
So how are you doing that?
Yeah, so I put out a lot of content, regardless if it's on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I dabble with YouTube a little bit, but I used to, when I first got into social media, I was always creating content, and I actually took this away from Gary Vee. I'm not a big consumer of content, but I did take this away from Gary Vee, where he preaches document, don't create. And that really resonated with me, because I said, if I constantly try to create content and put out content, I'm never going to keep doing it. But if I document just what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, you know, maybe some people will resonate with that, and I can share my wisdom through my day-to-day struggles, and my kids can someday look back on that and take some wisdom and inspiration from that. So I really don't focus on creating content. I just focus on what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis.
And do you, like, store it all on video, on YouTube, or are you?
Yeah, so I do really well with written content for some reason. There's kind of a human psychosis to good writing to invoke emotion, and I seem to do well with that. But I really like being on video and putting out video content. I enjoy just taking the video and editing it. I like the process. So I'm trying to move heavy into video. I'm just trying to find the right platform to use it on. So I've always used, like, Instagram stories, but the problem with Instagram stories is it's not evergreen content. It does expire after 24 hours. So I'm trying to find which platform I like for video more. YouTube, I have put out some vlogs on there, but I've never really gained any traction. But LinkedIn has video now, so I'll probably start putting out a lot more video on LinkedIn.
Yeah, talking about LinkedIn, you've gotten a lot of views on your recent posts. So what's been going on with that?
Yeah, I love LinkedIn, and it's crazy because I've had a LinkedIn account for several years, and I used to use it for, I didn't put out any content, I didn't consume any content on the platform, but I use it for very targeted networking. So it's actually how I met my best friend and business partner several years ago, by sending him a message on there and reaching out to have lunch with him. And that's how I would use it. Well, lately I've seen a lot of people talking about LinkedIn and the algorithm just being very favorable to content creators. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try it out. And I've been playing with LinkedIn for about a month and a half, and it's been crazy. I don't do any kind of quote unquote growth hacks. I just put out content, and I've had some posts do anywhere from 20 to 40,000 views, and these were written posts. And I think what I've been thinking a lot about LinkedIn lately, and I think why it's kind of easy to stick out on that platform, is because it's such a politically correct platform, and everybody's very cautious because most people are followed by their employers and their coworkers on that platform. So it's nowhere near as saturated as Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or any of those other platforms. So these people aren't used to someone consistently putting out original content on there, and I stick out, and yeah, I'm able to rack up views just because I stick out because the platform isn't saturated with other content creators.
Oh, interesting. So like, what was your first post that blew up?
So I post my first one that I did a lot of views on was it was just an iPhone picture of me and my business partner reading a book. So every morning we'll take an hour and we'll read a technical business book. So this day we were reading a oil and gas asset, acquisition and divestiture book. And I had my other business partner, I said, hey, take a quick photo of us. He took a picture with his, iPhone. And I posted it on LinkedIn, and I typed up I think it was probably two paragraphs worth of text about how we spend an hour every morning reading a book, and it did 30,000 views. And it literally took me 5 minutes to create that piece of content.
So you just wrote about what you read about?
Yeah, so I could go look it up, but actually I wrote, it was something along the lines of, me and my business partner have been doing this practice of reading a technical book for an hour a day. It's kind of like adult story time. And I read it out loud, and he types up notes on the computer so that we can have it on a shared Google Doc. And it's kind of a hack because we're able to record the information faster, and then we can talk about the information as well. And so with two of us learning it, you know, it just kind of speeds up the process, and that's all it was about. And yeah, it racked up a ton of views. And like I said, I mean, it's nothing, the picture's nothing fancy. It was just taken with an iPhone 8. It's me and him reading a book. And then I typed up what we were doing, and it did a ton of views.
So do you think it's like the way that you write is getting so many views, or like the length of it, or what do you think?
Yeah, so I think there are tricks to that as well. I know a lot of people use single line text format on LinkedIn. So they'll, you know, write a sentence and then they'll double space it, write another sentence. I think some people actually call them bromes. That's the term for them, is bromes. They combine poem with bro. And I guess that's kind of a hack. But sometimes I write like that, sometimes I don't. But I've always, just out of a practice of good copyright, I do write in short, broken text. So like I'll have one sentence, maybe two sentences max, and then I double space and then write another one. So it seems like I've always found that on Facebook to be the case too, that if you break up the text to where it's easily digestible, that it'll do better. It'll get more likes, shares, comments, etc.
Interesting. So, but what if you have like a long post, like, you know, say 500, 800 words, like how would you do that?
Yeah. I do it. I mean, man, I've had some very long posts, longer than 500, 800 words that I've been able to do it on. So usually what I'll do if it turns into like a long blog post, I'll do like, first of all, my first sentence is usually to capture attention. So I'll do a sentence to capture attention, and then I'll have a few more short sentences, and then I'll start adding in some short paragraphs in between there to kind of compress the text together a little bit. But yeah, you can definitely, there's really no limit on how long the text has to be or how short it has to be to do that.
And do you think images or videos are good? I heard videos are new, so they're kind of pushing that out, right?
Yeah, they're supposedly pushing video. Just from my personal experience, I've seen that if I do a written piece of text with a photo, that it's done really well for me. I haven't played around with video as much, but so far my video hasn't performed as well as my photos with text.
Okay. So photos and text are better?
Yes, but I know LinkedIn will be pushing videos across their platform, so that's why I'm going to start going heavy on it for sure.
Okay, for sure. Awesome. So kind of like now that I know you're really big in the oil industry, but what's your plans now then?
Yeah, so my plans right now, I'm going to keep doing the e-commerce stuff, just being general counsel to my business partners on that, helping them along with that. But my primary focus right now is to build out my primary goal is to build out the biggest exploration and production company that's come out of Texas. So that's a pretty big feat considering that you've got some massive companies that have done that. But right now I'm working on my private equity fund, and this is where I take investors and I get investors into oil and gas assets because it's a very closed off game. It's not easy to invest in these assets to even get access to them. Like, you know, say yourself out in California, you'd have a hard time getting into these deals. So I'm kind of the bridge for investors to get into these. I do all the due diligence, everything, and then I execute the deals. So right now, my main focus is building up my private equity fund. And then also I'm releasing a website called Digital Wildcatters, and this is going to be an education platform for oil and gas investing because there's no resource for it right now. And I'm just going to make it a free platform where people can go to learn how to invest in oil and gas works, how you drill and complete wells. And through that, I'm just going to educate the market and try to provide value to people through there.
Nice, nice. Yeah. And kind of like what I love about this entrepreneurship is when you see like a problem, you just fill the gap, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's like whenever like entrepreneurs are like action takers. I'm not saying others aren't, but it's just like, I love how you just saw there's nothing like it out there. So you weren't just like, okay, then I'll just.
If there's nothing out there, I'm just going to create it myself. So yeah. I figure if I'm looking for stuff, other people are looking for stuff. And if it's not there, I'll be the one to create it. So it's all about taking the action, man.
So, I want to thank you, for the interview. But before we close off, I always end with this question, which is, if you could go back in time and go to younger Colin, maybe before you knew what you're going to do with like oil and social media and all of this, like, what's a piece of advice you'd give to yourself, especially maybe when it was like a rough time for you or a time where you didn't know what to do and just kind of like.
Absolutely. Yeah, so for me personally, when I was younger, I had self-confidence issues. I always knew what I was destined to be, but, I was kind of a troubled kid, had bad grades in school, and so I had a lot of adults that were around me talking down to me, and these adults aren't necessarily ones that share my enthusiasm or motivation or vision for life, and so I let them have a very negative effect on me. So if I was to go back in time, I would tell myself just to stay the course of what I believe to be true and what I believe that I was meant to be, and just know that someday you're going to be the man, but there's a lot of work that has to go into that before that happens, because people aren't going to believe in you and believe in your message or believe you are what you say you are until you start doing those things. So yeah. I would just say stay the course and stay true to yourself.
Yeah. And maybe all of those things, those hardships ended up in you, believing in yourself more, because that's the same for me, right? Like, it's just if I didn't believe in myself, then how would I have gone out and interviewed other people, entrepreneurs, right? Reaching out. Yep. It's just like, it all starts from within you. And, hopefully like through these podcast interviews, people listening can be encouraged. But like at the end of the day, it's like it has to be you with you.
How can you expect others to have confidence in you if you don't have confidence in yourself? Yeah, I think if you find your self-confidence and you put that out into the world, others will start following you and others will feel that energy and will start feeding off of it. So that's how you get people to believe in you.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also because it's bigger than you. It's not just like, it's about me. It's like you have a bigger purpose, right? So
exactly, man.
Yeah, but man, so where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn is the place to find me right now. That's where I'm spending most of my time. So you can find me, it's just Colin McClellan, on LinkedIn. You can also find me on Instagram. It's Colin McClellan also on there. So if you're able to link them in your show notes, I can send you some links. That way people can network with me. I'm always looking to add sharp minds to my network. So don't be afraid to reach out.
Yeah, for sure. And what part of Dallas, Texas did you live in again?
I live in Houston. So I'm from West Texas originally, but I live in Houston. I lived in Houston for the past 5 years. So it's the oil capital of the world. So that's where I do all my business.
Is that near Dallas?
It's about 5 hours south of Dallas. So there's no short trips in Texas. Anywhere that you want to drive to, you're 4 or 5 hours away from another big city. So
okay, cool. Yeah, my stepmom's opening a boba shop in Dallas. So if you're
ever really cool. Oh yeah. I spent a lot of time in Dallas. All right, let me know where it's at, man. I'm gonna stop by and give me some.
Give some tea, yeah. So but that's awesome. Thanks, Colin, so much for taking the time, and I'll put the links there, and hope everyone else who's listening can check you out there on Instagram and LinkedIn.
Great, man.
So much, Colin.
Thanks for having me on, man. It's a pleasure.
Hey, guys, hope you enjoyed the interview with Colin, and remember, you can find Colin as Colin McClellan on Instagram, on LinkedIn as well, and just you can connect with him there, and hope you guys are inspired from his story. Of, you know, just being true to yourself, you know, not caring what other people talk about you, but really finding who you are and finding your own path and purpose in life. You know, not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur, but whatever your path is, whatever your journey is, I hope this interview helped you. And also remember, you could follow me as ray.on and sign up for my emails about the latest interviews with influencers and social media news at the link is going to be in the podcast description. And also DM me on Instagram, ray.on. I'm going to have my own Facebook group teaching Instagram and social media and have other influencers come on and teach as well. So you guys can find out more information about that through the emails or by DMing me on Instagram. And so thanks, guys, for listening. Please leave a review if this has helped and share with your friends and family. And we'll see you guys on the next interview.